the summertime is coming, and the trees are sweetly blooming, and the wild mountain thyme grows around the blooming heather. Will you go, lassie, go?
Hello, welcome in to episode 128 of Caithness Craft Collective. I'm Louise, and today I've got a blether with debate, what's a crack, coming up, me, dram section with a Glen Turret single malt whisky, and a shoppy section. I sponsor this for my own energy engineering business, Energy Hunt. All links are with the show notes, so get your cup of tea or your dram. I'll let you know what a crack is in Caithness this week.
Now for the blether.
The blether. Debate. Today is Polling Day in the United Kingdom of Great Britain. So congratulations to us all for surviving what has been a very long and arduous election campaign. The polls still stand at a hung parliament, and the campaign has been run with that in mind. I've watched the televised debates, and how refreshing it would be if they would just give a straight answer. Where did all the money go? Well, we spent it on X, Y and Z. Will you end poverty? No, but we are trying to put things in order to assist those that are in it. And no non-Scotland voters, I can't vote for Nicola Sturgeon either, because she's actually not standing in this election. She is a Scottish Member of Parliament and is not standing for Westminster. She is the leader of the Scottish National Party, so therefore has been the spokesperson for them. And yes, she's done quite well, as has the Plaid Cymru and also the Green Party. Females, I may add, they didn't sit, stand and throw cakes at each other. They were quite good, I would suggest, in the debates. However, we will be reminded that Nick Clegg last time was really good at the debate, and yes. Now, you may guess that I am not a big fan of our politicians. Nope, I can confirm I am not. I do see them as going into the job for the right reason, and job I don't want to do, but when they get into the system, they all go the same. They never answer the question you ask them, and they're in it for themselves, and the policies get decided in a gentleman's club or a golf club over drinks, where they all sit like they're playing Monopoly and decide which is best for their own hedge fund or businesses. Call me cynical, it bores me and it tires me. I really don't like politics of any kind, be it in the Houses of Parliament or in an office or a group. But let's debate this fact. I do like the fact that I can vote. Oh yes, sirree, I do. I like the fact that I'm a woman, and from the age of 18, I could go into a polling station on election day and mark my X against the least bad of a bad bunch that I felt represents my ideals and thoughts. This blether may well remind you of some of Hoxton Handmaid's amazingly wonderful insight on a past election, and I do send you all to go and listen to it. She pointed out that countries around the world still don't allow women to vote, such as Brunei, and Saudi Arabia have only just this year allowed women to vote on only some elections. And then there are the countries that don't let anyone vote for anything, like the likes of Korea and, say, Syria, but then that's because of the war. They don't have any elections just now. I like the fact that I'm not living in a war zone, and we have stability to have put up with being bored with politics. There was a picture of Oban War Memorial, and the local canvassers had put their Vote for Us cards on the lamppost right in front of it. Some people were disgusted and said it showed no respect, but I debated about it and I took the opposite view. Because of the names on that memorial, we in this country can vote. I don't expect Hitler would have had many democratic elections. And tomorrow, being the Friday the 8th of May, is the 70th anniversary of victory in Europe. So imagine saying to any of those people alive then, I'm not voting because I can't be bothered. The History Extra podcast has an interesting interview regarding the Magna Carta recently, which was a document in 1215, which is another anniversary, which was written to give the people of England rights so that King John at the time couldn't go on being such a tyrannical Egypt. That was my reign, not theirs. Now, I've taken this from the Bairns BBC history site. On the 19th of June at 1215 at Runnymede, King John signed the Magna Carta, and it means Great Charter. I've always actually wondered why it meant. Of course it does. It was the first formal document stating that a king had to follow the laws of the land, and it guaranteed the rights of individuals against the wishes of the king. This meant people couldn't be arrested, imprisoned, or have their possessions taken away except by the judgment of his equals and or the law of the land. This laid the way for trial by jury, which meant people are tried by their peers and guaranteed the civil rights of the individual. The Magna Carta established the principle that the people of England, at this stage represented by barons, could limit the power of a king if he was doing things that were not good for the country. So, I mean, before the Magna Carta, widows and daughters of barons could be sold by the king in marriage in order to make money. Who wouldn't want that changed? The History Extra podcast guy finished his interview by stating why the very point that we have these rules and rights and laws should not be treated with contempt. He has a point. West, I'm not telling you who I voted for, nor am I asking you who you voted for, but I do hope that you have read some of the flyers that they have been consistently shoving through your letterbox, and most of them have addresses on them, or you can find the address for them so you can return to sender. So you can make an informed decision and do go and vote. We might not like who the politicians are, what they stand for, what comes out their mouth, but we in the UK have the right to vote. In other countries, it's a legal requirement to vote. I think I would be happy enough if that was a law here too. The referendum last year in Scotland awoke the voting public. It was an 84.5% turnout. This election may not reach those dizzy heights again. For this election, I really don't want to vote for any of them, and I found it quite difficult to mark my X, as I have a postal vote and it went back last week. But vote I did, and I do it because of women's suffrage, because of the people going to war, and because I can. So how does this all tenuously link to craft, Louise, you wonder? Well, I actually don't think it does much, other than I've done a fair bit of sock knitting whilst watching the political debates. I do think debate is healthy, and of course there are things in the craft world that we probably could do with debating, such as why are lambs not sold for much at market but their meat is so expensive and some yarns are too? Why do people who see knitting in public feel the need to come up and give you your opinion? But I'll leave them for another episode. The big question is, will I finish my owl's jumper in time for any cold weather at all? That is debatable. In fact, I reckon most of Scotland will be shouting, "Finish it, Louise, because then the nice weather will come." Back to less political matters next episode. If you need a pee stop, you probably will, go, because it's time for the Daisy and Sandy giggle. Waltzy crack,
say Trent.
Waltzy crack. Can you smell the new candle? I still have the old candle, but on Saturday I got a new one, because it was part of a prize, for being the best improved lady runner of the 2014-15 North Highland Harriers Trail Run Series. Think cross-country running. I was well impressed with myself, and also the fact that they sat down and fed in lots and lots of numbers into a great big spreadsheet and worked it out, because it comes with a handicap on it too, that's the system. And I kind of think that means it, because most of the runners are faster than me and we all get a starting position at the same, so if we all improve our pace over the runs, it can be fairly judged. Blah 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 blah. He's still awake. It shows you that hard work does pay off sometimes. Even when you have bad runs, like me yesterday, the improvement is there. Think of your knitting or sewing and look at your starter projects. Now, look at what your skill level you are on now. It might be a nice prize thread, but I've no idea how to judge it. I don't have one of them great big spreadsheets. Anyway, you're all smelling pretty peachy this episode, and I drank the wee bottle of wine that came with it the other night. I also drank some champagne on Sunday night, because on Sunday I completed my first triathlon. 16 lengths of the Wick swimming pool, then straight outside into the cold for a 10k cycle, then off the bike for a 3k run. And I was wearing a triathlon suit, kind of short on the legs, and I had a reddish jacket on, and I had reddish shoes on and a red bike helmet, and my legs were bright red. I was like a lobster. Now, I was most worried about the swim, which turned out to be the best bit in the end, and the weather was really windy, and I quite struggled on the cycle back. And on the run, I was understandably tired, but then Richard, who had finished by my second loop, he came in and he ran with me and kept my pace up. So I got a medal, and I was delighted with it. And then they all turned round and said, "Well, are you doing the next one in a month? Let's double the distance." Oh, look, swallows. Brit Yarn. This is Isla, and on 2nd of June, she is opening an online yarn shop selling only British yarn. Thought you were a guest, right enough. She's blogged about what her woolly principles are, and they make good reading, such as Brit Yarn celebrates the British wool industry, and Brit Yarn supports British businesses. I get to read the press release to you in the next episode. Hooray! I've bought issue 92 for May of Knit Now magazine, and I have to say, purely for the front cover gift, which was a wee dolly, knitted dolly kit by Amanda Berry, and it's called Daisy May, and it has blonde hair and pigtails. I showed it to her and she went, "Oh, can I have a monster, please?" What? So I'm going to make it and keep it as a reminder how cute my little monster used to be at this age. Retreat. The retreat is coming up fast and I'm doing the admin behind it. The remainder of the money is due. When I get the last couple of checks, I'll go in and cash them all together. I've got the goodie bags started to be organised. Now, actually, here's a wee call for you shop owners. If you would like to donate to the goodie bags, be it a coupon for your shop or bottle of gin, that'd be nice, then please do get in touch. Now, it won't be a surprise, but I'm making things for the goodie bags. And there will be some left over and they will go into the shop after the event. I'm not going to tell you what it is until after the event because I want to surprise the attendees. A new addition to the retreat is to be a drop spindle workshop on the Saturday morning by Sheila Munro of Black Isle Craft Frame, who was going to be holding this workshop at the Highland Wool Fest and is sadly thwarted by the organisers not holding them. More on that later. So I've offered her to run the workshop at my retreat. Thankfully she accepted. Sheila, I am really looking forward to meeting you in person. She to me is a legend because she's knitted kilt socks for all the men in her family for a family wedding a few years ago now. There is an extra cost to this because it's been added after the event of me costing the retreat out, and also it's not mandatory. I've invited my textile artist group along to the Friday and the Saturday. Some might come up and then you can get a blether with them who I mention week in, week out. And before I forget, the mobile reception could be a bit ropey in that corner of the world. There is some, but it comes and goes. There is free Wi-Fi in the complex, so you can be contactable. Plus, I'm happy to give my phone number out for your loved ones as a double point of contact. I like to over-organise some things. Some other things, I think pantoffles going off for a crying out loud, Louise. It's to compensate for those things that I never thought of, which will inadvertently crop up.
The swap section.
Swap. I thought I'd take back the swap section for a one-off thing, as I said I might. I got the idea from Knit One Geek 2's Maggie, and she did a wonderful swap based around the Dresden Files from the Odd Ducks group, and her package sounded amazing. So I thought we could do this around the Terry Pratchett thread that's been going on. Well, I've now finished reading The Colour of Magic to Sandy, who actually really enjoyed it, and he asked for the next one already. And he kept asking, "Is the dragon lady still naked?" Yes. But I said we'd have a few days break and read his library books, which one's on Sea Otters and the other one's on Dee. He's a little bit random, is Sandy, when it comes to books. So, I'm going to open a thread and the rules are going to be quite ruley. I've just been on the Odd Ducks thread and they've not long done a Terry Pratchett theme, so I hope they don't mind, but I'm going to steal their ideas. I would also recommend you go on their group if you like swaps, because this is your kitty. And these rules tend to be quite a cross-ravelry thing, because I have scouted around a few other swap groups, and the rules and suggestions are not uncommon and I quite like them. Please only sign up if you're serious and are willing to stick to the deadlines and the rules. I'll read you the rules stolen from them. Your package must be themed around all things Discworld. They did have other Terry Pratchett things, but I think I'll keep it a bit more simple. I'm adding also Alzheimer's fundraising merchandise has to be included too. I think it would be nice to make some kind of fundraising as well, because it was Alzheimer's that stole Sir Terry from us, and I know for a fact that there is a wonderful Anne Hill quilting pattern book out on Alzheimer's Scotland website. I'll link the websites I'll find for you so that you can find something for it. I mean, it doesn't have to be much. You could even make a donation with the receipt going to your recipient if you can't find anything that you think they'll find useful. Now, your package must be themed around your partner. You must pay attention to your partner's likes, dislikes, quirks and desires. It helps to answer questions and to pay attention to their wish list. Your package must contain one large item, one medium item and two small items. So your top large one could be a hand-knit plush Discworld, a medium item, a copy of The Science of Discworld, or a turtle mug. Oh, I like turtles. Two small items, say, pins, buttons, something to do with bees from Granny Weather Facts. The total value of these items must be in between £20 to £25, which is $30 to $35, and this does not include shipping or materials for your handmade. Your package must contain a handmade item. Your handmade item should be the main part of your package. Your handmade item can be sewn, beaded, embroidered, whatever, knitted, as long as the work was done by your two hands and has been made with your spoilee in mind. It should take at least 3 to 4 hours to complete, and you are not limited to just one handmade. You are required to complete regular check-ins for this swap. If you miss one check-in, you will receive a warning and 1 week grace period. You will be removed from the swap if you miss or are late for two check-ins. Signing up for this swap means you are committing to rules. Please do not sign up unless you are sure you can hold up your end of the swapping arrangement. I cannot reiterate this enough. Please PM Louise when you have shipped, with delivery confirmation number if you're shipping domestically. Well, yeah. Please post here and in the thank you thread when you have received. Check-in dates are, and these are the ones I've put in, June the 1st, which you get the questionnaire, June the 15th, first quarter check-in, June the 30th, midway check-in, July the 13th, final quarter check-in, and July the 28th, status update, shipping deadline. Packages must ship by July the 28th. If you're shipping domestically, delivery confirmation is mandatory. Oh. Read that bit properly. Now, I really love this. I really enjoyed the swaps and I'm missing them, but I hated having to police it. So I'm willing to don my Captain Angua von Uberworld's hat again if it means getting this awesomeness as a parcel. So go on to the Odd Ducks group and see what others have sent and received. And whilst I hate, kind of, I feel like I'm stealing what they've written and their idea. Like I said, their group is now closed for Terry Pratchett, but the rules and suggestions are not uncommon. They seem to be quite a genuine theme across Ravelry. So please only sign up if you're serious and you're willing to stick to the deadlines and rules, because I really don't want to have to turn into a werewolf. But imagine getting this package through the door if you're a Terry Pratchett fan. So that's Terry Pratchett Signs Up opening now.
Coming up, it's there.
Now, Highland Wheelfest is less than a month away. It's been held in Dingwall Mart on the 23rd of May, and it was wonderful last year. And I've mentioned this before, but they've cancelled the workshops. They said it was due to lack of interest, but I find that a real shame. I would hope that if they have the event again, then they would revisit their marketing strategy, because last year it was really well advertised. You can find their group on Facebook as Highland Woolfest if you want to suggest holding workshops, if that's what the knitting public want. Although maybe you don't, but go tell them what you do in fact want. Now, the vendor list is up and it's a really good all-round showcase of all things Highlands of Scotland and a few things further afield, i.e. the Yarn Gardens Louise and George and Strathairn Fleece and Fibre, to name a few. Of course, Ripple Craft's lovely Helen is going to be there, and Ken Crabbe's Fabrics, whose main shop is in Brora, and I love it. It's fantastic. They sell yarn, tweed, tartan fabrics and tweed and tartan goods, and at pretty good prices too. And I've always found the owner to be wonderful, helpful and quite knowledgeable as well. I'm debating, there's that word again, about going this year because it's the day before the May 10K race and we have visitors coming up. However, I would recommend this event especially for the cafe because they give you cake using a trowel. Yeah, pause for effect, because cake with a trowel. Boof, yum. Leeds Yarn Fest is also approaching. And I met the lovely Tracy at Edinburgh, and she's written to me to say, and I'm just going to pretty much read this verbatim. I wanted to give you a quick update. We now have two films to show in the museum's 1920s cinema as part of the festival. Now maybe you've heard of the film Tell Them of Us. Apparently a call went out on Ravelry and Twitter 2 years ago for knitters to work on the costumes for the film. I believe from historical photos from the time, well, we have kindly been given a copy of the feature film and also a copy of the short documentary Tell Them of Us, The Knitters. We will be showing them in the museum's vintage style cinema and admissions is included in the entry price of the festival. She's managed to track some of the knitters who were involved in the film via Ravelry. Don't you just love how fab Ravelry is? There's a link to the museum's website. And yes, I have heard of the film, Tracy. And another, you can go follow the group on Facebook. Again, I wish the TARDIS that the lovely Bobby sent me, hi Bobby, was fully functioning one because Sandy's curtailed it for me. Or a wee private jet, that wouldn't go amiss. As it is, I am sending my listener envoys, and a few of which have bought tickets.
The Beaker section.
Me, me, me section. On the second sock for Sandy Saga, yeah, get my alliteration, I am now on the foot. This is Totally Vanilla by Cookie E's Socktopus book, and I'm using Gnome Acres Wabbit Season Duck Season. Oh, love seeing that. I did go a wee bit wrong on the gusset decreases, but that's because I was knitting when the bairns were at the Cook Sewell class, and one of the other bairns' father was chittering away, and he was making me laugh, so when I counted I knew I was wrong. I should put back my bag. I fudged it somewhere and I'm now marching along the foot. Maha, it's a good place to march now, isn't it? At Textiles we were pottering about mainly. Some of them are away, so we've not started the fleece to material project yet. I was sitting embroidering on some book covers which were made from crazy quilting panels, made up of leftover bits of tartan, which is a wonderful revelation to me because I've got quite a few small bits left over. The thing that's stopping me doing these just now is making sure that it fits the book. So the sort of front part is a wee panel, like an E5 sized piece of crazy quilting, and then the back will be plain. So, yeah. But they are to go into the shop. I am also not speaking to Buchel today, because that's quotry you've just heard. Yesterday, I wasn't having a very good day. It was raining and blah, 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 and cold and blah, blah, blah in the morning. I just won't bore you with it. So I sat on the couch for a while before Daisy came home from school. Sandy was away at his pals, in case you think I've just dumped him. And I could hear Buchel, who was sitting right beside me, licking, and I thought he was... He's chewing on something. So I thought it was his paws. And when I did look down, I realised it was in fact my jelly roll quilt edge. And he'd chewed a good 3 inches out the side of it. It's now sitting upstairs ready to go visit my mum to see if she can tell me how to mend it. Buchel was in his cage for quite a while after it. And he knows that I'm not impressed with him. And he can be as cute as he wants. I'm still angry with him over it. Now, when Quattro was a puppy, he did chew as well. In fact, he wrecked my glasses completely and some cross-stitch beaded panels. But this quilt, well, it's the hours and hours of work that took that's upsetting me. It's not like it's not always there either, and I was sitting beside him. Anyway, I did manage to sew most of the binding on the Friendship Star quilt. My hand stitching is pretty good, actually, and was almost invisible, because the binding has been sewn onto the front, as I mistakenly sewed it onto the back, yes. Then Mum turns and says, do you know, you could have just sewn that with a sewing machine and done a decorative stitch up it, you know. inserts long pause while I try to decide what to say. Well, not much in the end. She did have a point. So I'll be using this as my lap blanket for the couch until the jelly roll quilt is fixed. And I start speaking to Boofle again. I even picked up the sleeves on my owl's jumper by Kate Davies. Well, I sat there, I read the instructions, and oh, all I had to do was put on another needle and get a bit of waste yarn organised for where the sleeves went on. Isn't it wonderful when you can understand patterns? Now, I'm using magic loops as I don't have size 7mm DPNs. With a long enough cable, it's actually okay. And I'm about to the elbow on the first one. I'm kind of trying to get this finished for the retreat, but at this rate, that's debatable. Tenuously like there. I was quite tempted to do the cast on a project for every day in May because the Prairie Girls podcast are doing it, and it would help enormously for the Stash Dash, which the Knit Girls podcast hold over summer. However, because I don't own 31 pairs of needles, and I would end up with 31 projects hanging over my head. It's a great idea, though, if you're really organised, and then you can get those needles working and the stash liberated. Debatable idea here. What do you listeners think of it? Maybe a more realistic thing would be for us to get one every week. I had thought to cast on the Teeswater Hap I got from the Yarn Garden in Brighton, which is by Chrissy D, and I bought this with the Teeswater yarn. And this was to go along with the hap along by Knit British. I haven't done it yet. And then I've got the yarn wound for the Curran Shorn by Claire Devine. And I've also wanted to get through her sock anatomy book and knit one of each of them for the techniques. Not for a child, but to learn how to do the techniques and also maybe use up some of the little sock yarn, which was a bit cheap and nasty, really. But I didn't know any better when I bought it. And then there's the Emsky Knits back catalogue. Hello, lovely Mel! And then there's the Acer cardigan by Amy Christophers. And then there's the rest of my library, and some of which are gifts from you lot. And I hate not having started them. So I'm talking myself into this now, aren't I? I can see why people want to do it, actually. Notice all them projects are all for me. I've turned into the knitter who only knits for herself. Mind you, I know I wear them, so that doesn't upset me. On to the drams this episode. If you're not into the drinking or the shopping, then thank you for listening. I will catch you next episode, because there's only the shoppy and the blah 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 stuff after this. If you're into the drinking, stay tuned. This episode sees Richard and I drink a Glenturret single malt whiskey.
We're drumming. I hope you like drumming. Doo. Hello.
Hello. Welcome into this episode of The Drams. And this episode we are drinking a...
The Glenturret Highland single malt Scotch whiskey, Scotland's oldest distillery, aged 10 years. So last time we had the smallest distillery. This time we've got the oldest distillery.
Cool. Well, pass me the box, please.
The box.
Okay, we're going to a cylindrical affair today, and it is cream with some brownish writing and the odd bit of copper highlight. Established 1775. Ooh, that's back in the past.
Mm.
The Glenturret Highland Single Malt Scotch Whiskey. And there's a really bonny pen and ink drawing of the hills with the distillery building in front of it, and there's a massive great big grouse.
Mm, we'll come to that beside, in a second.
Yeah, standing right at the front. It's humongously huge. Age 10 years, and then in copper writing, small. Throw 10 years of gentle slumber in oak casts. The Glenturret spirit transforms to a pale lemon gold colour. Pale lemon gold colour.
Barbie.
Ooh. Developing its renowned delicate flavours of orange zest with vanilla as it slowly matures. 700 millilitres, distilled and bottled in Scotland, the Glenturret Distillery Creef, 40% volume product of Scotland. £35.99 from Mackay's Grocers in Thurso. And there's stuff on the back in black, nice little big size writing for my eyes. Oh, enjoy responsibly.
Yes, exactly. Always enjoy responsibly.
Really is. But I don't like being told to like boring. It's like party and poop, party poopers.
I mean, you don't enjoy it, be irresponsible.
Okay, who knows for how long the River Turret has been flowing from its source high on Benconzie through one of the loveliest glens in Scotland and into the peaceful Turret Loch? Do you know?
I would say one thing is certain, though.
What?
The distillery that sits by the burn has been quietly going about its craft for longer than any other in Scotland.
Oh, you're so clever. Since 1775, the Glen Turret Distillery has produced small, precious quantities of Highland single malt Scotch whisky. As unchanging as the river, the traditional pot still process is still used to this day. Oh, it's a pot still.
Mm.
Yeah, cool. I'd like to tell you what it is, listeners, but I don't. The best ingredients is the purest water and the longest tradition of distilling excellence come together in a smooth and mellow whisky with a glorious banquet and natural golden hue. A dram of Glen Turret is a pleasure reserved for those who find the time to savour it. I think we can find the time to savour it.
I'm sure we will tonight.
Okay. And in copper writing, here are no fads, appliances or patents, but like the building, the vessels are all of the ancient pattern. Alfred Barnard, 1887, quoted. So that is the bottle. It's got a nice bonny.
It's quite a well done.
It is.
Tom.
So like this. This will make a lovely cylindrical thing for posting or holding in knitting needles or yarn. That's the way I think about these tubs. So the bottle. Ooh. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Right. On its shoulder, it has the date, 1775.
Well, I thought it was the 16th of day.
The year...
Sorry, it's even the 17th of day. Can't even get the date right.
The label is the same cream colour. It's easy to read. I like it because it's black and decent enough size. Product of Scotland. And it... What kind of shape of bottle is that?
I would say quite a traditional one. It's the kind of bottle that my mate James uses, puts a teat in the end and feeds his pet lambs with.
Doesn't have pet
lambs. Or pet calves.
He's got calves. He's calving just now.
Pet calves.
Yeah. So, what's the colour in the bottle, Mr. Hunt?
Well, in the bottle itself, it looks quite a dark kind of golden. I'd say it's kind of like a clean Chewbacca again.
Yeah, there's no Barbie in that bottle at all.
Oh, it might be different when we get it in the glass.
Either that, she's been rolling around in the dirt a lot.
Well, our days was rolling about in seaweed and dirt and sand and mud and all sorts of day.
Well, maybe she's that colour. In fact, the bath water was probably that colour.
It was. Right. I'll do the cork.
Yes, please. That bottle's been opened.
Just a little bit. I'm like the king's tester.
Oh, right.
A tester.
Yes.
Tester and the tester. The queen. The queen's tester and tester.
Oh, dear.
Just in case.
In our Herdrador glasses. See, I've learned how to say it. I'd say that's kind of lightened up when it's in there.
Yes. And it's a clear bottle, too. It's got a lot of stickery stuff, what do you call it?
Labels,
yes, that's the word I was looking for. Pass you that.
Okay.
I'll give it a little swirly.
Smell. Oh, spicy. Oh, I'm getting some, but I don't know what it is.
Nutmeg.
Nutmeg? Have you been reading tasting notes?
No, I'm getting nutmeg.
I cannot do that. Suggest something, listeners. Oh. Whiskey? Yes, I'm getting whiskey. Well, I'm getting stuff. Spicy things.
Good.
Is it good?
It's good.
It's good, yeah.
Kind of warm, sort of spicy, kind of almost like a...
This would be a good
almost like a mulled wine kind of spiciness.
To come into from a cold day.
Yes.
Not today. Today's been hot. But a cold winter's day and you've been out on the moors looking for your sheep or coos or whatever. Or doing the Bilbster Tough Mudder.
Well, tell me about the Bilbster Tough Mudder.
This is what we should have had after the Bilbster Tough Mudder.
So you should have had before the Bilbster Tough Mudder. Tough Mudder.
Bilbster is a place in Caithness, and on Sunday past we partook did a obstacle course for 8.5 miles, and it was a farm obstacle course. Mainly, the whole entire course, barring one bit with road, was going through pastures where cows had been, and there was barely one square foot of that pasture land had not been stood on by a cow at some point.
Or ploughed.
Or ploughed.
Or dug for ditches.
Or dug for ditches.
Or was bog.
Correct. And it made for very uneven terrain. So I was amazed that nobody turned their ankle or worse. There was also man-made obstacles of 3 stacked high bales of hay that you had to jump over.
It's round bales. So it was probably sitting about 20 feet high.
Yeah. And then there was barbed wire that you had to roll underneath. Commando style.
Tires.
No bum in air. Only one of them that was doing caterpillar crawl. And then there was jumping through the tires. There was going underneath the electrical fence.
A couple of tum bags full of
fertilizer.
You had to jump over them.
Yeah. And
that was great, I loved it.
Then there was jumping over the normal barbed wire fence, although they were taped over and some of them had bits of piping over them, so you didn't get yourself, but I did.
Quite a few rivers to run through.
Fjording the rivers. Then there was going diagonally up and down two ploughed fields, and they had furrows, and oh, that was the worst part for me, apart from the ditch.
The ditch is quite legendary, because it was about, I would say, about half a kilometre long.
Oh, definitely.
Maybe more.
I remember reading and saying it was 200 metres, but it felt a lot longer than that.
Well, you're down in a ditch that's about 10 foot deep,
mm-hmm.
down from like ground level, and then the water itself was, well, it was up to your waist.
Mm-hmm. And I'm 5'2".
Up to my knees, up mm-hmm. to my thighs.
And it was silty bottom
mud. With the odd rock and roots interspersed.
Just like the bear hunt. I'm going on a bear hunt. I'm going to catch a big one. What a beautiful day. We're not scared. And it was stumble trip, stumble trip. Oh, look, a snowstorm, a swirly-whirly snowstorm. Ooh, what a beautiful day. We're not scared. A river. You can't go over it. You have to go through it. Swishy, swoshy, swishy, swoshy. Long grass. Gorse. They didn't have gorse in the bear hunt, but they think of gorse, think of bog, think of ditch. Yes, listeners, it was me. And then I got back and they were all like, oh, do the obstacles. And I just went, no. Because you could go around some of them. And 8.5 miles, I was done. I was so cold. So this dram, coming back to the point, we're 10 minutes in and we've not quite got there. This dram, listeners, would have been the thing to have after. I would have just gotten across that line and been handed that. I think that would have warmed me up.
You forgot about the ploughed fields.
I've said the ploughed fields.
At the end, that we nearly missed. Yeah. But we were reminded, oh, you have to go up that ploughed field and back down it again.
And he trapped it up and down like the little goat that he is. And I stumbled up, stumble trip.
I loved every second of it.
He did.
And I would do it again.
Yes, you would.
And I would do it again carrying a pack.
I, listeners, going through that ditch, along the ditch, and you couldn't get out the ditch, it was far too high. All I was thinking was, I needed an assault rifle to be carrying across my head, and I was like Forrest Gump. And I would be the one that got shot and would be laying dead in a ditch.
Oh, I don't see that.
That's what it reminded me of.
No, you. I'll carry you.
Oh, thank you.
I'll carry you.
But the farmer who is one of the harriers, it was very well organised, and he kept zipping around on his quad so that he knew that where people had to go, and making sure that the slower ones, hello me, were okay. Very, very good. It was an excellently organised event.
I still think they should have an elite. Because I think it's great, because there's some runners in the Harriers that are exceedingly fast, very good runners. They're racing snakes. And on roads and tracks and trails, they're really fast. However, this brings them into our remit, because people that are sort of averagely fast but averagely competent and can handle things like obstacles and all the rest of it, it gives me a fine chance. Puts us on a level peg. So, because last year when I did it in a good time, and I was quite chuffed. And I think they should make them do it like they do in the forces with it. There are some of them that were in the forces,
so they probably could still do it. Anyway, back to the draft.
Oh, yes, sorry,
I just realised I've drunk some.
Smell.
And, the colour and the glass is lighter than in the bottle, so I would say that's Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, I'll go with Winnie
the Pooh. It's a really lovely golden lemony zesty colour.
Do you want to know what the nose is? I'll just have a
look.
The nose is full with malted barley, twisted cereal, notes of nutty oilness, a touch of fruit peels.
Whiskey.
I'm getting that. And herbal tones. I'm getting that. There is a good oaken honeyed sweetness.
Yes.
Getting that too. Okay.
Dropping down the glass, slowly.
Would you like a little drop of water out of your very fine gold-plated water dispensing Edredor jug?
Yes, please. I would love some. It's not gold-plated. It's just slightly.
The water coming out of it is.
What, from a tap? Scottish whiskey.
Water. No, only when it goes in that it comes out gold-plated. It's like King Midas.
Right. Okay. So, sans-va. You know what I think we should have is. An extra thing is, who are we going to toast to? Who would you like to toast to today? This is over and above who we're having for a dram.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to have two people at a dram, so I'll toast one of them.
Okay, who?
Well, it kind of jumps a wee ahead of itself, because Glenturret is the spiritual home of turkey. Well, it's not turkey as such. The grouse. The famous grouse.
Oh, now we know what you're talking about.
Ah.
The famous grouse, which is the blended malt.
The blended malt, which is...
Whiskey.
I'm assuming, and I don't know the facts about this, but I'm assuming that a good proportion of it is Glenturret.
And this is why you like Glenturret.
Yes, I know, because I love grouse, and also it's got Highland Park in it. And it's a great blend.
And that is why there is a little drawn
turkey.
Grouse. It's gross. Doesn't look like a turkey.
Well, this leads on to who I'm having to toast.
Who are we having to toast?
I am going to have the chap that basically instilled in my head that it's no longer called grouse. It's called turkey.
Who is?
It's an author called Kevin McNeill, who wrote a book called The Stornoway Way.
I remember that.
Which was a kind of coming of age kind of book. Remember there was also, like, at the same time, there was The Sopranos by
Alan Warner,
who was based
Marvin Collar.
It was all based around the Oban area. The Stornoway Way is based out in the Western Isles, out of Stornoway.
Was he the one that said he's Jack Russell fast, or was that the one from Orkney?
No, that was the Trollerman.
Right,
no, he's not just fast. He's Jack Russell fast. That's a different story. That's also a very good book.
Yes.
Anyway, so I'm toasting Kevin McNeill for giving it in my head to call famous grouse turkey.
Okay, right. So back to the taste of
you going to toast?
No, then? I'm not. We just need one because we're going to have other people to drink.
Oh, right. Okay.
And it's just time to get on.
Okay, right. That's fine. Go for it.
I'll have Danny and Simon, who organised the Bilbster Tough Mother, because I did see them. It was extremely well organised. Thank you very much for all your hard work, but I hated every minute of it.
And they're both gentlemen too.
Oh, they're lovely. They're really nice. To them, yeah, so I've got no problem raising a question to them. So, taste, Richard.
Again, I'm kind of getting a fruitiness to it.
It's very spicy.
Yeah.
It's not overly burny. I thought that it might be with it being spicy, but it's not.
It's not very distinct. I'm kind of getting the fruitiness to it and like spiciness, but I'm not getting much else. I know that the tasting notes say it's fruity and rich with thick sweetness and well-balanced oak tannins, a touch of cut hay and a little earthen notes. I don't get any of that.
Oh,
I get fruitiness.
In the field.
And I get spiciness.
I'm going to see if I can find some oak casks here.
Or a little earthen notes. But I think because I had a bath and I've scrubbed myself, I'm not covered in earth anymore. I've been smelling earth all day.
Lovely.
And it's got a nice finish. It's no burny.
No, not at all. I like this dram. I would have this again. So,
And I get the sort of grousiness as well.
Yeah. And it's probably because you've got a background, the fact that you like the famous grouse, that you would maybe like this a bit more.
We are acquainted.
Very well.
Not for a while, though.
Yes. I went through a bottle of that when I was having hot toddies.
Yeah, you might be acquainted. I'm not. I never got a look in.
I was turning into a turkey. Right. So the area. Where is this area, Glen Turret?
Grief. Sorry, Creef.
Where is Creef in Scotland?
It's kind of to the west of Perth.
Right.
I think it would still be in Perthshire. I think it is in Perthshire. Because after Creef you've got Killin, and that's still Perthshire.
Okay. It's very good researcher, Richard.
I'm making this up as I go along.
Okay.
It's in amongst some Bonny Hills, sort of southern highlands. It's quite pretty, quite far inland. There's not much else around about it other than agricultural and estates and a lot of berry picking around there, fruit picking and stuff.
They've got the Creef Hydro Hotel.
I've stayed there for 2 weeks and did my NEBOSH course.
I was facilitating there at a Scottish Water conference throughout the summer, and I was a facilitator. I had to go up every week. And
did you get lunches there?
Yeah.
Did you get kangaroo and alligator and stuff?
No,
we had all that menu. It was awesome.
Wow.
It was pretty posh. Because
we only got to stay over one night. Well, we were allowed more, but because I lived quite close to it, I didn't often stay because I didn't want to. It's a
very posh,
very well-used posh kind of place, Creef Hydro.
Creef's all right.
It's got a good balance of cost. You stay there for quite reasonable, actually, because I've got lodges and stuff. But the hotel itself is quite...
It's really posh when we were there.
Mm. And there is also the private school.
Oh, yeah.
Who went to the private school?
Posh people.
No.
I don't know.
Who? Ewan McGregor. That I might be.
He's from Creef, isn't he?
Yes.
Aye.
Yes. So.
Aye. Oh, like Creef, and I'm thinking of the hydro, because I remember when we finished our exams and stuff, and we had a few celebratory refreshments.
Did any of them include the Glen Turret?
Possibly. It was such a long time ago, and
I'll give you that.
And apparently they sent out search parties looking for me. They never thought of looking underneath the snooker table, did they?
Well, that's more filthy.
Well, when I get too many,
you
I just...
You obviously didn't read the drink responsibly, people.
Well, I was young and foolish, and when I get too many, I want to go to sleep, and I curl up underneath somewhere and go to sleep. It so happened it was the snooker table.
So I recommend the area of Creef. It's very pretty to go and visit.
Yes, very.
There's lots of hunting, shooting, fishing kind of thing around there. More so fishing.
Oh, yes, yes.
And it's a good place to base yourself if you want to go into...
Glen Turret Distillery.
Yes. And I was going to say the Central Pale, but never mind. So who are you inviting round for this episode of The Tramps?
Well, leading on from the last invitee, who was Terry Pratchett.
Yes.
This time, I'm inviting one of his characters, The Luggage.
This is obviously from the first book, The Colour of Magic.
I'm going to tell you a bit about The Luggage.
Okay.
Right. The Luggage. The Luggage is a fictional object that appears in several of the Discworld novels by Terry Pratchett. It is a large chest made of sapient pearwood, a magical, intelligent plant which is nearly extinct, impervious to magic, and only grows in a few places outside the Agatian Empire.
Yeah, that's what I've been saying.
Generally on sites of very old magic. It can produce hundreds of little legs protruding from its underside and can move very fast if the need arises. It has been described as half suitcase, half homicidal maniac. Its function is to act as both a luggage carrier and bodyguard for its owner, against whom no threatening motion should be made. The luggage is fiercely defensive of its owner and generally homicidal in nature, killing or eating several people and monsters and destroying various ships, walls, doors and other obstacles throughout the books. Its mouth, the features often remarked upon by those it is about to consume, contain lots of big square teeth, white as sycamore and a pulsating tongue, red as mahogany. The inside area of the luggage does not appear to be constrained by its external dimensions, a bit like the TARDIS and contains many conveniences. Even when it has just devoured a monster, the next time it opens, the owner will find his underwear neatly pressed and smelling slightly of lavender.
Excellent. Well, have to be nice to it and don't try and steal its gold.
No, I don't. I want it to be my bodyguard. Next time I go into work.
Oh, dear.
That's brilliant. How can you better that?
Well, who are you having?
Well, I am going to have Princess Sophia Duleep Singh.
And who is Princess Sophia Duleep Singh?
She was the goddaughter of Queen Victoria, and she was a suffragette. Now, this drams is going to go out just actually on Polling Day in Britain.
Why?
And I thought it might be an idea to remember why we go out and vote. Because,
yes. Well, and particularly if you're a woman.
Particularly if you're a person, because in the UK we have a democratic right to vote, and she was one of those that campaigned and wanted to go on hunger strike and wanted to get jailed to highlight the fact that women couldn't vote before 1918. Women in Britain over the age of 30 meeting certain property qualifications were given the right to vote in 1918, and in 1928 suffrage was extended to all women over the age of 21. So would you be buying this again, Richard?
I think I'll certainly drink it again. I think for the same price there are other ones that I would like to try. But if I was stuck, I would certainly go back to this. I quite like it. But then for half the price I could get a grouse.
You could die. I was just about to say that.
In fact, for less than half the price.
Mm-hmm. But then that's not a single malt. You're getting loads of
I'm not fussed about it's a single malt. It's whether I like it or not.
Hmm.
Some of the best drinks I've had have been blends.
But you quite like the blend, some of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice bottle. It's a nice tub. It's quite a nice spicy dram.
It's a nice dram just to savour and take your time over.
Don't think I'd be able to pick it out between it and something else, though. But then I'm not actually...
No, it's not very distinctive.
No. But it's subtle and it's nice. Mm-hmm. No, it's not subtle. It's spicy.
I wouldn't say it's that spicy. It's spicy. It's got spices in it.
I'd say I'll go with a curry.
An after curry drink.
An after curry drink. Whoa, blow your head off. Mm-hmm. And on that note...
Wake you up.
Wake fat. Sounds fat.
Shoppy section.
Shoppy section. The shoppy is stocked. There are currently some McLean, some Gordon, Ferguson, Robertson, Ancient Macmillan and Ancient Fraser tartan bags. If you feel you'd like to contribute to my continued running of the podcast but get stuff back as well, then please go and visit www.etsy.com/shop/Caithness Craft.
Blah 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 blah
blah blah blah section. Thank you very much for listening. I really do appreciate you taking the time to download and then listen to me. I hope it made you laugh out loud at some point this episode. My email is caithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. I am on Ravelry as Louise Hunt. Etsy, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook as caithnesscraft. You can access my Flickr photos from LouiseG2010 or via the Podbean site as www.caithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com, and the photos are down the right hand side where you can get all the episodes of the podcast there. The music was from Markin's Wild Mountain Time, and while summer is coming, it's decided to take a bit of a step back because we had hailstones this morning. And you can go buy this at www.musicalley.com. Thank you for listening and keep on crafting.